KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Well, it is February, and a treacherous mix of snow, freezing rain, and ice from a sprawling winter storm is wreaking havoc across much of the country.
Whiteout conditions in Virginia, up to a foot of snow in spots. Multiple tractor trailers stranded along Interstates 81 and 64 near Stanton. The governor declaring a state of emergency. Traffic cameras on I-95 showing multiple accidents near Richmond. Virginia State Police reporting more than two dozen injuries across the state. Snowfall rates of an inch an hour in the nation's capital. Schools and federal offices shutting down early. And up to an inch of ice weighing down trees across northwest Arkansas.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos. Russia released English teacher Mark Fogel, detained since August of 2021. California's insurance department says the plan that covers homeowners who can't get private coverage needs $1 billion to pay out wildfire claims. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. There's still hope that the coal piles in downtown Green Bay will be moved. Green Bay Mayor Eric Gingrich says he's still working with everybody involved in this.
We have not thrown in the towel yet. We're still, you know, working with C. Rice in conversation with Troy and some other folks at the county to see if we can't still get this deal done. The stars have gotten as close to aligning as we've ever seen with Pulliam being vacated and all of that. So, and $15 million being appropriated right from the state to make this happen, we just have got to get it done.
Gingrich was a guest on Civic Media's Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, airing Sundays on WGBW. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is part of a group of legislators bringing forward the Right to Contraception Act once again. The legislation would create a statutory right to obtain and use contraceptives and would ensure that healthcare providers have a right to provide contraceptives, contraception, and share information with patients. Similar legislation was introduced in July of 2022, June 2023, and June of 2024. Blocked each time by the Republicans in the U.S. Senate. The family of missing Sophia Franklin of Beaver Dam released a new statement Monday night asking people to keep sharing her story and asking for her return. The pregnant 16-year-old Franklin was last seen on February 2nd. An Amber Alert was issued. She's believed to be with 40-year-old Gary Day of Arkansas, who's also thought to be the father of her unborn child. Police have issued an arrest warrant for Day. The Amber Alert for Franklin covers not only Wisconsin, but also Arkansas. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
The Bucks bow to Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing at home to the Golden State Warriors, 125-111. Stephon Curry led Golden State with 38 points, the most he's had all season. Jimmy Butler had 20 and 9 rebounds in his second game for the Warriors since being traded from the Heat. Damian Lillard also had 38 points in the loss.
I thought we didn't execute well enough out of that, you know, the screening, slipping, getting the guys involved that we wanted to get involved. We didn't do it consistent enough. And then, you know, it was still a close game. Loose balls, they got to them. You know, we allowed them to get off threes. You know, they got a lot of shooters, and I thought they separated themselves, getting threes off, second opportunities. And then, obviously, the turnovers. You know, I felt like I had more turnovers than I ever had in a game today. So you're not going to win a game not valuing every possession against a team that's shooting the ball like that.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, low 0 to 5 above. Snow showers developing tomorrow, high in the upper teens. Winter weather advisory issued for accumulations of 2 to 4 inches. Snow wraps up tomorrow night. Sunny in mid-teens Thursday. Currently we're at 8.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both
actually agree about.
Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Coming up on the next show, we'll talk with Flack and the campaign for lead-free water before discussing immigration in the city of Milwaukee with Mayor Cavalier Johnson and getting organized with Dr. Robert Craig.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes pina coladas but hates getting caught in the rain, Pete Schwabba.
All right. Hour number two on a Tuesday. We are lighting it up, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Thomas will be here at 7:20. We'll talk movies and St. Valentine's Day festivities in Madison with Rob. We have a few more guests, a few more minutes here with my in-studio guest, Mark Motorson, who is a retired Appleton police officer and does a lot of work with the Appleton Historical Society, including this Thursday, February 13th, from 5 to 7 p.m., you can join him at the Appleton Historical Society for True Appleton Crime Stories. That should be fun, Mark. Tell us about that. Give us a little thumbnail about that again if people are just joining us, and then tell us what else you got cooking there at the Historical Society.
Okay, well, our Thursday nights from 5 to 8 are free, where during the day we charge people to get in if they're not a member of our society.
Okay.
And so this Thursday, actually, I'm going to start about 6:30, actually, talking about some of the old crimes in Appleton.
Okay.
And then other Thursday nights, like the following Thursday, the 20th, we're going to have a ukulele history journey. And February 27th will be a speaker on the history of Air Wisconsin.
Oh.
That Air Wisconsin started in Appleton.
Yeah.
And they're celebrating their 65 years this year.
Okay. So when is that?
That's the 27th.
27th, okay.
In Wisconsin, we have a speaker on their 65th anniversary.
Nice.
So right now we're in the middle of a $1.5 million capital campaign fundraiser for our new location. We're at 231 West Franklin Street in Appleton. We just bought the building May 1st of last year and then remodeled. We're still actually remodeling the second floor yet, but our main floor that's open right now, our first floor is open. We also have a $200,000 matching grants in effect right now. And you can go to AppletonHistory.com and click on the Donate Capital Campaign button if you wish to donate to us. We're a nonprofit. We're an all-volunteer organization, so we have no paid employees. You could also send a check to us at 231 West Franklin Street in Appleton if you wish to donate, and all your donations will be doubled.
Hmm.
Our free presentation series are on the. We also have a presentation series on the second Wednesday of the month at Community First Credit Union at, I think their address here is 2626 South United Street. Those start at 7 o'clock. So this coming Thursday night, I'm sorry, these are Wednesdays, the second Wednesday of the month. So this coming Wednesday, which is tomorrow night, is the history of Elm Tree Bakery in Appleton. That's at 7 o'clock. At the Community First Credit Union, South United Street. March 12th is the Matrix Band. April 9th will be Death and Disease in Appleton. May 14th is the History of Wickman Funeral Home. June 11th is the Farm to Wall Street and Back. I'm not sure what that's going to be about. July 9th is the History of Standard Manufacturing and Fred Heppner and Sons, which were builders in Appleton.
Yeah.
August 13th is going to be Kahn's Wood Products. September 10th is going to be the history of the Appalachian Police Department. And October 8th will be the Pioneer and Riverside Cemetery, the history of that.
Boy, you guys got a full dance card over there.
We do a lot of stuff. Let's see what's here.
Are you guys connected, Mark, to the like Facebook pages? I just got invited to follow Appleton Historical. I follow these pages in cities I live in or have lived in, and I find them.
We have a Facebook page, and right now we have 9,500 people on our Facebook.
Oh, that's great.
Because a lot of old Appleton photographs go on our Facebook, and people, and a lot of times people will even put an old picture on there and say, I think this is Appleton, or I know it's Appleton, but I don't know where it was from. Within probably 5 minutes, people are telling them. We have a lot of interaction on our Facebook.
That is part of the fun to me about, because you could post something,
a lot of fun,
and you'd be surprised how many people know the history, even if the administrator of the page does.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's just absolutely, I love that those pages are so popular. Yeah.
Right now in our museum, we have made in Appleton area that shows old things that were made in Appleton. And we have a Courtney Woolen Mill. Courtney Woolen Mill is a woolen mill that just closed late last year. It was down by the river in Appleton. And they donated two of their bigger machines to us. We brought those up to our museum, and we have those running again.
Nice.
And we also have the Lamson Preferred Cable Cash Carrier redone in our museum. The cable cash carrier, I can remember that back in the 1950s in Appleton when it was at the Loudeman Gage department store where the PAC is now right now. And I would go in there as a kid, and you'd give your money to the clerk. They would put it in this little metal container, and would run on a track up to the office on the second floor. The office would send your change back down along with the receipt.
Hmm.
And Mike Gage, who is related to the Gage that owned half of the department store, when they took that preferred cash cable out and put it in their attic, when they were going to tear the building down, he got that, kept it for probably 25 years in his garage, and he donated it to us.
Nice.
And some relatives of the Glaudemans reinstalled it in our museum, so we have that running again.
Oh, fantastic.
It's the only one like that to be running again in the United States.
Do you work with all of the historical societies in the state? I know we've got the Historical Society in Madison has sent me guests periodically.
We're a member of the Wisconsin Historical Society.
Okay, it's all kind of a network?
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you luck with the event on Thursday, Mark. It sounds like a lot of fun. Before I let you get out of here, I'm fascinated the stories you tell about your police work. You walk the beat, you've worked on drug cases, you said you've assisted in homicides. What about police work got you most excited when you were a cop? Was it walking the beat or doing patrol or investigating cases? What was the kind of
stuff? Walking the beat was fun, but I always wanted to be a detective, because a detective, you're actually helping people.
Yeah.
You know, there's one case in particular, I remember a woman from my high school class came in and said that her parents had invested money with their insurance agents in Appleton. And the insurance agents didn't really give her any documentation of where the money went, or her parents. And when she called up asking questions, they wouldn't really give her information. So I went over to the insurance agent's office and told them why I was there, and asked them where these people's money went, and they wouldn't tell me. And so I got a subpoena and subpoenaed their bank records and found out that they had not only squandered the money, they bought a car and a boat. And
whoa.
But I also found six more victims. So we went from $20,000 from my original victims. And they also talked these original victims into cashing in their life insurance policies and giving them the money. And so they not only got the money from those people, but they got money from five other people for about $200,000. And one of the two insurance agents eventually pled guilty, and the other one we had a jury trial, and he was found guilty of securities fraud.
Were those people able to get their money back? Like, was there some sort of insurance policy either for the people that took the money, or are they just out of luck?
We only got back probably about a fourth of the money.
Okay. But it must give you some sense of satisfaction to find justice for people and
it did.
Catch the bad guys. So, you
and stop more victims from becoming victims.
Yeah.
But I'd like to help people that way. And I worked a lot of securities frauds, embezzlements, contractor frauds, where a contractor would take down $10,000 to put in remodeling work and never did it. So I worked a lot of those type of cases.
Okay. Conrad got very nervous when he saw you show up here. I don't know if he... You got a guilty conscience, Con?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Mark, this was fun. Tell us, what else can people expect Thursday night? It's free, right?
It's free.
Okay.
And we're going to start about 6:30, but the free part starts at 5 o'clock. You can come in and view the museum first if you want.
Yeah.
And then stay for the talk.
Have you always been a history buff, or is this something you kind of got passionate about when you retired?
I probably started about 25 years ago, and I started collecting actually things that were from Applin, things that were made in Applin, things that advertised old Applin companies, old photographs of companies. One of the things, and I forgot to mention in our museum,
yeah,
that there are different rooms. We have a sports room right now that's basketball. We've got all the high school's stuff featured in there. We're going to be going into baseball, I think, later, in football at some point. We have a Air Wisconsin room. We have another room from Presto Products, was a company that was started in the garage in Applin. And now they have plastic baggies and things.
Okay.
And we have a room on their history. We have a research and library. So for the library, we're looking for like old Applin city directories because we do a lot of research for people too. Okay. People come in and want us to do research on their houses. Or business people that bought a building downtown will come in and ask us to do research on their building or ask us if we have any old photographs of their building that they could use in their building, in the hallways, or in some of the offices. So we do,
nice.
And this is all free for people. We just ask for a donation.
That's great.
Because I said we are a nonprofit and we're all volunteers. We have no paid employees.
That's excellent. And I love that it's free to the public too, because it's something people should embrace, sure. You know, and learn more about our history.
And we have a map room that goes the earliest beginning to today.
So okay.
A lot of old maps.
Check out the Appleton Historical Society and check out this event on Thursday night, folks. True Appleton Crime Stories, February 13th from 5 to 7 by our guest here. He is the man of the hour that will be there telling stories, Mark Motorson.
And that's at 231 West Franklin Street.
Okay.
Appleton History Museum.
I've got, we've got to do a break, but I've got, before we go, and thank you again for your time. This has been great. It's been great having you on the show. I have a recommendation for you. You gave us FBI files. I'll check that out, but there is a true crime documentary about how they caught the Night Stalker killer in Los Angeles. I think it's on Netflix. And again, my daughter got me into that. And the way the police found him from a shoe print and the near misses gives you a real insight. And I'm saying this for the listeners as much too, into what police officers go through and the near misses and how close you guys are sometimes to getting someone. I highly recommend you check that out, and I'd love to talk with you about it the next time you're on the show. So thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, thank you.
All right, you got it. That's Mark Motorson. Check out the Appleton Historical Society Thursday, a true crime event. Mark will be there answering questions and telling stories. When we come back, Rob Thomas from the CityCast Madison newsletter will be here. He's also a great critic, and we'll talk to Rob about movies. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Between all the holiday parties,
weekend tailgates,
and family get-togethers,
we've been overindulging a little more than usual over the holidays. But now, we're starting the new year off on a healthier note by taking active liver supplements from New Nordic every day.
Active liver contains a powerful blend of turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract. All natural ingredients that help protect the liver so that it can protect you from toxins. It's like giving my body a daily detox. I've never felt better and my energy is through the roof.
And my doctor is already impressed with how much better my numbers are looking. So if better health, more energy, and detoxing your body are some of your priorities this year, get Active Liver today and start the year off knowing you're giving your liver some well-deserved relief.
Active Liver is available in both tablets and as a delicious gummy. You can find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards named Chula Vista one of America's top 10 indoor water parks. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
And the 920 says, I agree with Steady Eddie. Kelsey will retire and get married to Taylor. The wedding will take place on the Chiefs' first regular season home game on the field in front of the Chiefs fans and nationally televised for all to see. I don't think people outside of Kansas City would want to watch that. There was a lot of speculation that the reason Taylor Swift got booed was because the crowd in the Superdome was like 70% for Philadelphia. I could be wrong about that, but that's what I read. That's a great text. Thank you, Steve. And that's a very Steady Eddie text your dad just kind of sent in there, Conrad. Very reminiscent of a Steady Eddie.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. But, you know, I would tune in and just be happy for them, you know?
Yeah. They seem like a nice couple. And pretty soon, we'll see how
they could use the publicity, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I just hope they register somewhere sensible. For their wedding. Okay, so this is exciting. I always love our opportunity to talk movies with my next guest who joins us now over the stream. He is a Madison-based film critic and is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. And he joins us now, as he often does, Rob Thomas. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Very well.
I'm glad to hear that. So You've got some big stuff going on in Madison. Where do we start, Rob? Because you're ahead of me again. I thought I was making all this headway on movies, and here you are. You're way ahead of me once again.
I don't feel ahead of you. I still haven't seen four of the top 10 Best Picture nominees. That's pretty bad. I mean, so I gotta find some. It's supposed to snow heavily here tomorrow in Madison, so maybe that's the day.
Hole
up and catch up on.
Well. My issue is I've got three of the films left to watch, and I don't know what happened, but for the longest time I was reporting that, like, not reporting because I'm not a reporter, but like I was presenting A Real Pain as one of the best picture nominees, and it's not. I think I got confused with Kieran Culkin got a best actor nod, but the film is not up for best picture. And I think in one of my Hollywood beats, I talked about it and I've gotten so confused trying to keep up with all the movies.
Yeah. 10 is still too many. I think like it's too much paperwork to try and keep track of all of them. Yeah.
It really is. I have to pull them up every time. Cause I can't think, I guess Nickel Boys is coming out this weekend on streaming. So I'm excited to see that. I've heard that's very good. The Brutalist, it's anybody's guess as to when I'll be able to see that. And what's the other one I haven't seen is I Am Here.
I'm Still Here.
I'm Still Here.
Like, just came out in theaters last week, so I'm not sure it'll be on streaming before the Oscars.
Okay.
It's pretty tight.
Well, turnaround. Let's. Yeah. I got lucky last year because, what was it, the Emma Stone movie with Mark Ruffalo, Strange Things?
Poor Things.
Yeah. That came out on streaming the day of the Oscars. I watched that the Sunday morning it came out, so I barely got all the films in last year under the wire, but... let's talk. You've seen some good ones, but let's do those next. Let's start with Valentine's Day in Madison. It's right around the corner, And it looks like, according to the CityCast Madison newsletter, which you are the editor of, it looks like there's some cool things going on. Is there anything you could recommend to people listening right now who might be in Madison and are looking for a good night out?
Yeah, I mean, a lot, you know, not surprisingly, a lot of restaurants sort of put their best foot forward on the Friday and the Thursday and do like special, oh, 3-course dinners or 4-course dinners, or there's one inside a 5-course dinner. One of my favorite restaurants in town is Cento, this Italian place.
Yeah.
They have a great brunch, but they have a special dinner menu all weekend with cocktails and apps and stuff. That's really good. But one thing I like and what I wrote about was there's really a nice variety of, you don't have to, you know, get the tuxedo and tails to go out on Valentine's Day necessarily.
Right.
What we're going to do is order heart-shaped enchiladas from this place in town called Cantina. And they're like take and bake, take them home, nice. Bake them up, and even get a churro bouquet to go with it. So it feels like that's a little more our speed, I think.
Yeah, that's good.
Or you can always do the old heart-shaped pizza. It's hard to beat that some years. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's going to give you indigestion right before you have sex, but at least it was shaped like a heart. And I don't understand that the 7-course meal before one of the few times married couples can actually get together sexually, they're going to stuff their faces right before, unless they go out after. That's a different story.
Maybe that's the, yeah.
Work
maybe
up
that's
an appetite, right?
Experience. Yeah. You reorder that a little bit. Yeah. Or between courses, depending on how you work it. Yeah.
Yeah. Get creative, people. Yeah. This is a great article though. And you're right. There are a lot of different suggestions you give here. I have to say I've never had brunch at the Bassett Street Brunch Club. Can you tell me what that experience is about? This is one of the places you mentioned, and it always looks enticing. I don't know why. I've just never been able to make it happen.
Well, that's funny enough. My daughter and I just went there for brunch last week because it was her 21st birthday.
Oh, nice.
So she had her very first sip of alcohol.
Oh, dear.
I swear.
Oh, I saw that on Facebook. You posted a picture. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I was joking, of course, but she got, yeah, she was legit and ordered mimosas, and it was really fun. It's like a, you know, it's sort of halfway between a diner and like an upscale restaurant. Like there is like diner seats at one part and like, you know, high back booths, and they've got boozy drinks, and I had like a like a tater tot burrito that was really good, brought half of it home for the next morning, and highly recommend it if you're in town. And of course, it's the kind of place where they have breakfast all day, so you don't have to get up early to go.
And it's right in that hotel. I've stayed there several times.
The Hampton Inn.
It's right in the bottom of that, right? Or on the okay. Yeah.
One thing is there's so much construction in Madison, there's like no parking right now. We're looking on the map and like parking structure, and then we drive over there and there's literally just a giant pit. Because it was torn down to make room for something. So, yeah, downtown Madison is a little challenging right now, but definitely worth it for brunch.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Yeah, it's I got to check that out. My son used to go there a lot when he was in school there. They would make a big day of it. And I thought that was hilarious. Like, that's how things have changed. Like, when I was a kid, I don't ever remember going to brunch with a bunch of dudes. But we would go.
I saw some brunch dudes there. Yeah, I saw some college brunch dudes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a thing now. I guess young men have evolved. They can enjoy a nice brunch together.
Not us, Pete. Not us.
No, exactly. All right, Rob Thomas is here. We're going to do the news, and then we'll come back and talk about some of the Oscar films we've seen, and we'll find out the ones Rob hasn't seen, just so we can collaborate here. And I do want to hear about Paddington in Peru. Conrad and I are very excited to hear your review of that. So we'll do all that after the news. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's progress we have found.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Support for Governor Tony Evers' first statewide Office of Violence Prevention is gaining momentum outside of the state capitol, as some safety experts and advocates hope it'll save lives. Savannah Tomei Olson has the story.
Reggie Moore heads community safety at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He formerly led Milwaukee's violence prevention office during a critical period after a 70% increase in homicides in 2015.
The fact that cities are getting smarter on crime and the impact that these types of interventions can have in addressing violence before it happens, I think is something that people understand that we should be doing.
He says using this public health approach to gun violence contributed to Milwaukee's four-year decline in homicides and non-fatal shootings beginning in 2016, which was one of the biggest drops in crime nationwide at the time. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Wisconsin Department of Revenue is assuring residents that the free IRS Direct File system still remains a safe and secure option for this year's tax season. The program allows residents to file their federal income taxes directly with the IRS for free and is also integrated with the Department of Revenue's state tax system. Officials say the system features secure data transmission, identity verification, and is under continuous monitoring by the IRS for security threats. Residents can check their eligibility for the program on the IRS website. Green Bay native and philosophy professor at St. Norbert College, Ben Chan, will compete in the second annual Jeopardy! Invitational Tournament. A press release from Jeopardy! Productions says Chan is one of 27 fan favorites who will compete in the tournament, set to start after this year's Jeopardy! Tournament of Champions ends this month. Last year, in the Tournament of Champions, Chan came in first runner-up. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. What better time to announce new concert dates than after a couple billion people saw your Super Bowl halftime performance? Kendrick Lamar is doing just that as he announced new dates of his grand national tour, where he will be joined by SZA, who also joined him for part of the show at Super Bowl 59. The tour starts in April and tickets go on sale as early as this coming weekend. One of the great things about being homesick is you get to catch up on TV to the point where you're sick of it. But the least I could do is pass along a recommendation or two. If you like a good thriller, check out Don't Move. The film is directed by Sam Raimi and is about a girl who faces becoming completely incapacitated after being drugged as she tries to escape a predator in the woods. The film is only an hour and a half long and constantly moves. Really solid new film from Sam Raimi that you can check out on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, low 0 to 5 above. Snow showers developing tomorrow, high in the upper teens. Winter weather advisory issued for accumulations of 2 to 4 inches. Snow wraps up tomorrow night. Sunny in mid-teens Thursday. Currently, it's 6.
The 2025 draft is a few short weeks away. Experience it up close and personal with the help of Simple Life Hospitality. Homes are now available for booking, and locations are renting fast. Choose from homes to fit every budget and create unforgettable memories during this once-in-a-lifetime event. Enjoy exceptional concierge services while you visit the Cathedral of Stadiums. And don't forget, Simple Life Hospitality gift certificates make the perfect surprise. Book now at SimpleLifeRentals.com and make your draft experience unforgettable.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, we'll chat with Amanda Johnson from the Howe Resource Center about Give Big Green Bay.
Plus, we welcome local artist Spencer Nolan Young, and John Kramer fills us in on the Green Bay Boat Show. Join us.
Anna from Madison. She says, Pete, if you go to the Bassett Street Brunch Club, you have to try the coconut cream pie French toast. Oh, my God. I think I got fatter just reading that.
I was thinking that same thing.
That sounds awesome. Thank you, Anna. Welcome back, folks. We're in the home stretch here tonight on this gorgeous cold Tuesday night here in downtown Green Bay. Hope you're staying warm wherever you are. My guest right now over the stream is our friend Rob Thomas, and we're going to jump into some movie talk here with Rob. Rob, before we get started on Oscar films, I have to ask you, tell me about Paddington. I haven't seen any of them, and they're supposed to be great.
Yeah, I mean, the first two, so Paddington was this whole series of children's books. I mean, when I was a kid, I think they were around. So they're pretty old. About this bear who gets picked up at Paddington Station, lives with a human family, loves marmalade, very cute. Two movies are fantastic, especially the second one, which has Hugh Grant as the bad guy, sort of this fading actor turned villain, and it's really fun. For, as they say, all ages. Like, kids love it, adults love it. I don't know if you saw that. I don't remember that Nicolas Cage movie.
Unbearable Weight of Obnoxious Talent. Yeah.
Where him and Pedro Pascal are watching it.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that movie is an instant classic. And so they've made a third one a few years later that's in theaters this week called Paddington in Peru. And it's fine. It's with, you know, one of those things where it's like, maybe you should have stopped with two,
okay,
but it's still pretty charming. It's about, you know, he goes to Peru, as you might guess from the title, to look for his long lost aunt, and gets involved in kind of a sort of a sub Indiana Jones quest for treasure thing. And, you know, it's fun. It's got Antonio Banderas is in it. He's got a really fun performance. Olivia Colman plays a singing nun, who's sort of like Julie Andrews in Sound of Music. And it's got some fun gags and stuff, but it's not quite at the level of the first two.
Okay. All right. And then I wanted to ask you about a couple films that I saw that are not in the Oscar race, but Don't Move, the new Sam Raimi film on Netflix, and September 5. The movie about the Munich Olympics in 1972 and the hostage crisis. Have you seen either one of those?
I've seen September 5.
Okay.
And thought it was good.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah. I was not really expecting it. It's so interesting. First of all, it's this, you know, this incredible story about, you know, this hostage taking at the 1972 Olympics in Munich. It told from the perspective of the ABC sports team, right?
Right.
And and how they covered it live. And it was sort of a watershed change for news, really, to have a live coverage going on like that. And it's fascinating. The one thing I thought was so interesting was just the technology there in 1972.
Yeah.
Like, they had a reserve space on the satellite, you know, and like all that stuff that, like, you don't even think about today. But, like, it was also so primitive by today's standards, and how they managed to, you know, have this journalistic feat. I really enjoyed that. I don't think that got, did that get any Oscar nominations? Like, maybe for screenplay or something? I can't remember.
I don't think so, but I could be wrong. I didn't really research it, because it came up last weekend, and my wife and I were both down sick, and we're like, well, let's check this out. And it was the nuance, pardon me, that I thought was so interesting when they said ABC News is taking it. It's like, no, they're not.
Right.
And they're ABC News, but they're sports. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a totally different operation. But their argument was, we're here on the ground where it's happening 100 feet away. And that's just a dynamic that I found really interesting. And I love a good newsroom drama. And I thought that had a lot of it. And the look of it was great, too. It really looked like it was the 70s.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. It was very well done. Yeah. And then I have not seen Don't Move, but the premise is irresistible to me. What a great idea for a movie. Yeah,
exactly. I enjoyed it. So I'd be anxious to hear what you thought of that. But let's go through some of these Oscar films. So you saw I'm Still Here. I have not seen that yet.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on I'm Still Here?
Fantastic movie. It's based on a true story set in Brazil in the 70s under this military dictatorship. This very loving family, lots of kids, and the husband is kidnapped and just disappears by the government. And it really focuses on the wife and mother. That actress is also nominated for Best Actress, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And how she tries to keep the family together, and tries to not have this incredible tragedy kind of define their lives. But she's also, relentless in trying to get the truth from the government about what happened. Like they tell him, oh, we don't know where he is. We think he maybe escaped or something, which is a lie, of course. Great movie. So it's opening so late that I don't know if people will get a chance to see it before the Oscars, but I highly recommend it. It's really well done.
You know, it's funny. That sounds like an Oscar movie, what you were just describing. And I have to be honest, a lot of the films that I've seen, I like them a lot, but I don't know that I can see them taking home Best Picture. Like my favorite right now is probably A Complete Unknown, based on what I've seen. But like, The Substance I watched, and I remember you saying it's a horror film and it's kind of a dark comedy. What an awful, a horrifying film. It was grotesque, and it kind of had me as a movie until, I don't want to give it away, but what happens with the two women,
right,
becoming one, kind of, and like when the blood, it was like had this Carrie moment at the end where everyone in the audience is getting doused with blood. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, I didn't even understand how it got a Best Movie nod. Is it just because it's so different, do you think, or what?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen The Substance yet. That's what.
Oh, I thought you saw it. I'm sorry.
No, okay. I definitely know about it.
Okay.
So I know what you're talking about. It's one I kind of got to, gird myself up for, I think.
Yeah. yeah, well said.
But it is so interesting, because it's like, it is horror, and like horror never gets nominated for Best Picture. Like, I mean, I have to go back to like Silence of the Lambs to think of a horror movie that was,
yeah.
But I know one part of it is people loved Demi Moore's performance in it as sort of a comeback, and I wonder if that helped kind of lift the film as a whole to a Best Picture nomination. Also, I think Best Director. So it's gotten a few.
Kidding. Wow. Well, they're not making movies for me anymore, Rob. So what did you see, Anora?
I haven't. No,
okay.
The four I haven't seen are Substance, Anora, Nickel Boys, and Emilia Perez, which.
Okay.
I can't find anybody who likes that movie, so which is kind of interesting.
That's
in a
tough
way.
One. Yeah. I struggled with that. Like, I love the premise when I heard, what the drug dealer wanted to become a woman and then live happily ever after. But it's this great thing where it's like, well, there's still that drug dealer soul in there. And it's that was all fascinating to me. But I just didn't think it was a great movie. There's so much going on. It was so weird at times. But I would, I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about that as well. So of the films you've seen, and I don't think we've talked about The Brutalist. What did you think of that?
I was really impressed by it.
Okay.
You haven't seen it yet, right?
I have not. Yeah. No,
it's incredible movie making. I mean, it's a 3.5-hour movie.
Yeah,
it's amazing they made it for like $10 million because it looks like $100 million movie easily.
Wow.
Great performances, a really interesting story. Yeah, there was kind of a point maybe like 2 hours into it where I was kind of like, Is this kind of all it is? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really, to me, it's like the themes it has are pretty obvious, in a way. Like, it's about art versus capitalism and da 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 da. And I was struggling with that. It was like, is this kind of all there is? Because I think I get it now.
Yeah.
By the end, there's an epilogue that I actually really liked, and I felt really kind of pulled it all together for me in a satisfying way. But I mean, just in the strength of the movie making, I could see that winning, because it does feel like an old fashioned capital BB blockbuster,
Yeah. That, and based on what you just said about I'm Still Here, those are the two that to me seem like Oscar movies. Like, some of these, they were good movies, but I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And maybe it's because they are nominating 10 films now. And this is without having seen Nickel Boys or The Brutalist or I'm Still Here. But
Nickel Boys is supposed to be great.
That's what
I'm
I've heard.
To see that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. So of these, is Brutalist, are you thinking, or what you're hearing, or just kind of based on what you know?
I kind of think Anora, just because
really
last weekend was the Directors Guild and the Producers Guild Awards, and those are usually the best predictors of who's going to win. And I think director Sean Baker of Anora won the top one for the DGA, and I think that Anora won for the PGA. That's a pretty, as close as you're going to get this year to thinking like of a front runner. I think it might be Anora. I mean, I really thought Wicked was going to, because that's sort of the, you know, blockbuster,
yeah,
crowd pleaser, sort of the, you know, the Barbie of this year. But I guess I'm not really feeling that. And I thought Incomplete Unknown is a great movie too. I really liked it. I think Timothée Chalamet will probably win Best Actor, but although that's a very, there's a lot of good performances in that category.
Yeah.
But it's a tough one to predict this year, which is fun. I mean,
you know. Yeah. No, I agree. I did not get, and again, after you see Anora, we'll have to talk, but pardon me, I've just kind of discovered Sean Baker recently, and I've blown through like four of his movies in the last 2 weeks. Loved The Florida Project. It like is up there as one of my all-time favorite films. Tangerine was funky and weird, and I really kind of grew into that film as it went on.
Yeah.
And Red Rocket was good, but like this one, I was sort of like, you know, the performances were good, but there was this, and there's some funny moments, but
yeah,
man, it kind of meanders and just, I don't know. Did that win Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards? Because supposedly the film that wins Best Ensemble at SAG has won Best Picture like 26 out of 30 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was this crazy statistic.
It doesn't seem like really an ensemble film to me, the way I would say like. A Complete Unknown feels more like an ensemble film to me. Cause you know what I mean? Cause it's, yeah. I don't know who won that I guess that would be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm the same way, where I like all his movies.
Yeah.
And would love to see him get recognized. Cause he makes these really interesting kind of scruffy movies that are very focused on character more than plot.
Right. So which I love.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's so great. But this has like character to like, I don't know. You just have to see it. But the SAG Awards are February 23rd. So I guess we'll have a better indication then. My guest is Rob Thomas. He is a Madison-based film critic and writes for CityCast Madison. He's the newsletter editor. So what are you most looking forward to, Rob, between now and summer, if I may ask? Is there a big event?
Let me think. There were a lot of movie trailers at the Super Bowl last weekend.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like, I'm really excited for that Mission Impossible movie. I think that looks fantastic.
Yeah, me too.
A couple other ones, like the Fantastic Four, doesn't really do it for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm all marveled out. Although I'm interested in seeing this new one with Harrison Ford. And I'm trying to think. I saw Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave has a movie coming out with him and Paul Rudd called Friendship.
Is that the one you saw, Conrad?
Yeah, I saw that trailer this morning, and I'm still confused about what it's really going to... Is it going to be a horror or comedy? I don't know.
Yeah, but I like that. I like that where it's like you just don't know going in. It would be too easy if it's just a horror movie. So it could just be very uncomfortable, awkward, you know? So that's interesting to me. I mean, I think it's going to be a pretty good spring. Yeah,
I agree. Hey, Rob, we're going to do a very quick break. Then I have one more question for you. I'd love to ask you your thoughts on the Super Bowl halftime show and any commercials that jumped out at you. And then we can let you get on with your evening if you're cool with that.
Sounds good.
All right. Rob Thomas is here for a couple more minutes. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there that probably are alone.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores. Apples and bananas, 10 to 53% more. And cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Bridget from the 818 says, I am looking forward to daylight savings ending. Light, I love the light. I always have so much more energy. That's great, Bridget. I am totally with you. From the 321, Pam says, blooming lilac bushes. Nice. Grandma Krieger and Aunt Pam from Florida. How many aunts do you have, Conrad?
I have two on my dad's side.
Okay. Wow. And they both listen to the show.
Yep.
Your dad's side is my favorite side of your family. We've got a couple more minutes here with our guest, Rob Thomas, who joins us periodically to talk movies and film and fun stuff. Rob, did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did.
What did you think?
Yeah. The game was a surprise, a pleasant surprise. How that went. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thought the halftime show was also a surprise, and also a really good surprise. It was like art. Like, it was really challenging to watch. There were all these cool Easter eggs that sort of, you know, and was not, I guess I sort of expected more of an overt political statement with Trump there.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting. And, you know, it was about, you know, being a black man in America, like that image of the Stars and Stripes made out of the bodies of black men was really powerful, especially when it got pulled in half.
Right.
But it was just deeper than that, I guess. It wasn't a statement. It was like, you know, it was like art. So it was like, I was really impressed by it.
I was too. And I will say my initial reaction to it without having, I didn't know what he was trying to say through some of it.
Right.
I heard the phrase 40 acres and a mule and I was like, okay, he's going there. But I don't know a lot of his music. I knew about the feud with Drake. And, but as I read about it, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I thought my initial response, Rob, was just like, this is cool. It's mellow. And he was just kind of moving around. I love the way it was lit. And like you said, the guys dressed in red, white, and blue. But it wasn't until I read about it later afterwards that I was like really blown away.
I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, it was like a spectacle that was really intriguing and sort of like,
right,
wanted to know more about what was going on. And then reading about sort of the, you know, yeah, what was kind of behind some of the imagery and the lyrics and stuff made it really, yeah, just a really satisfying
experience.
Agreed. Yeah. And not, one that we haven't really seen in a long time, a serious protest like that, or at least not that comes to memory right away. So
right.
I thought no, I it agree. Was, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. And I have a guest on the show periodically, John Egan, who I went to Facebook because I wanted to see what some of the, like, I just knew some people were going to react the way they reacted. So I went there to read that. And the first thing I see is John's post. It said, "Nobody cares that you didn't like that." So did you have a favorite commercial, Rob?
I'm trying to think. You know, there's a lot where, like, could we have a moratorium on celebrities and commercials for, like, 1 year?
Please.
Just maybe, like, because I'm really tired of it. I'm really tired of seeing extremely rich people pretending to be silly, you know? Like, I was trying to think if there's any of them that I really...
The Dunkin' Donuts, I don't ever need to see the Affleck brothers in a commercial again. They think they're so cute, and everything they say is funny, and it's like, enough.
I did like the one last year with J-Lo. I thought that was that last year, 2 years ago? I thought that was very funny.
I don't remember.
This one just been on forever. Like, there's like a 7-minute version on YouTube, and I was like, what are we doing here with Jeremy Strong? The Bill Murray one was interesting. Was that his real email address? That whole thing is interesting to me.
Yeah. He was in two of them. I think he was in two of them. I love the Harrison Ford one for Jeep. I thought that was just a great ad, bringing people together, the different cars, different personalities. And then he made fun of his name at the end. So, you know, I thought it was a nice commercial.
That was good. That felt like a very throwback commercial to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like car commercial, where a lot of them were trying to be like little SNL skits with famous people in the middle. And the product is sort of like, oh, yeah, by the way. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Eat a Hershey's bar or whatever. That one was like, that's an old school car ad, and I did enjoy it for that.
Rob, thank you, buddy, so much. We'll keep talking as we get closer to the Oscars.
Absolutely.
Very excited to hear what you have to say about the remaining films, and I'll try to watch the ones I have still to see too, and we'll have a fun talk about it.
That sounds good. Thanks, Pete.
Okay, buddy. Talk to you later, Rob. Thanks so much. That is Rob Thomas. Check out his work. He is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. They do great stuff. And if you are interested or trying to make plans for Valentine's Day and you're in the Madison area, I highly recommend checking out Rob's article where he lists about 10 different places with 7 and 8 course meals and fun brunch and all kinds of cool designer cocktails all happening around Madison. Definitely check that out. Conrad, what are you going to do for... Because it's Friday, right?
Is it Friday?
I think Friday is Valentine's Day.
It's the 14th, right?
Yeah,
so it's Friday. It is Friday.
God, I got to find a date.
I'm just going to work.
Just going to work?
And then work out.
Okay.
That's
it's kind of a celebration of Conrad. I think that's all you need to do.
There we go.
Get a quick trip chicken sandwich on the way home. And you're all set.
Now that's a meal for Valentine's Day right there.
That's a one course extravaganza, and that is all you need. I purposely got done a minute early in case Steady Eddie tried to slide one in under the wire here, but I think we'll have to wait.
Maybe since we missed his text, he's waiting to text tomorrow. You
know? I hope we can get back on a cycle. I love the man. Pam from the 321 also said she texted in Grandma Jean Krieger from Florida. That's very nice. Does your grandma, would she be in the fan club?
Of Nightlight?
Nightlight,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you mean of? What? No, the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. All right.
Florida.
Hey, thank you to Rob Thomas. Thank you to retired officer Mark Motorson. We'll be back to do this all again tomorrow night with our guests. Who are our guests, Conrad? I can't find my sheet.
Well, we have 7,000 apart.
7,000 apart. Yes, of course. And who else?
Oh, okay, now I don't have my sheet in
Glenn
front of me
Glenn Morshower,
either.
Actor Glenn Morshower from 24. We'll be back tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, legalities and illegalities of the first couple weeks of the Trump administration. Jim Santel will be here and Dan Schaefer in hour number two to recombobulate. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Mino and the Mayor.
Well, I think everybody's been there because you've sitting there for the longest time. So I just came a little beep. And it was green.
Yeah.
I could see he was vaping. It was meant on his vaping thing. And then all of a sudden he rolls his window and gives me the bird. So I'm trying to get his attention. So he can see that I'm giving him the finger too, but I couldn't get my window down.
And you wanted to make sure he could see it.
I was waving to him like, hey, hey. Yeah, exactly.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. After detaining him since August of 21, Russia released American English teacher Mark Fogel. He'd been detained on a marijuana charge.
Fogel's family says he was carrying a small amount of medically prescribed marijuana, but he was sentenced to 14 years in a penal colony. Fogel's 95-year-old mother, Malfine, said she received a surprise call from her son with the news he was finally coming home.
I think there'll be a lot of tears.
The White House says Fogel was freed as part of an exchange with Russia.
ABC's Jonathan Carl, Fogel to meet President Trump tonight. The Washington, D.C.-based federal appeals court refused to immediately lift a lower judge's order requiring the administration to release billions of dollars in grants and loans. In Springfield, Illinois, the Sangamon County Council unanimously approved a $10 million settlement with her family in last summer's killing of Sonia Massey in her own home by a sheriff's deputy after she'd called for help. This is ABC News. Fire started.